Coming to you from cities all over the world, produced in Aotearoa, New Zealand, this is the Places for Good podcast. We bring you the designers, planners, and placemakers who shape the shared spaces for tomorrow, from stories of the past to visions for the future. We talk pride of place wherever you are. I'm your host, Boopsy Moran. Welcome to the Real Place City Challenge series. We dedicate episode 3 to places where play heals people, particularly how play can help children and caregivers to recover from the impact of COVID-19 on their mental health. Our guest here to share her work promoting healthier environments as a tool to support family mental health in a post-pandemic context is Vanessa Lines. She is an expert in process management and creating conditions for adequate early childhood development in local urban settings. And currently, she is president of Coopera Infancia, a network of organizations and independent professionals that advocate for better conditions for Peruvians' youngest children. Please welcome Vanessa.
Thank you. Thank you, Lucy, for having me.
Well, my first question is, I would love to start by learning more about what type of data collection and strategies your network utilizes to advocate for transforming streets and public spaces into better places.
Thank you. Yes, in fact, in Coopera Infancia, we are, as you said before, advocates for improvements in the development of early childhood in the Peruvian context. We are a Peruvian organization, and we use data as a way to know, to measure how people are feeling and which are the best strategies we have to select to intervene in the local public space and in the local public policies in general, because in fact, childhood is has a comprehensive approach. What does it mean? We mean that we don't intervene only nutrition strategies, we don't intervene only educational strategies, we need also to intervene in the conditions where in which children play in the city, the quality of air, the earth that the children breathe in their day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. A children is a whole, is everything. So how can we intervene at local level to give everything to families with small children? So we have this data, a very interesting instrument we have been using since the COVID-19 pandemic started in 2020, measuring indicators that tries to understand how is behavior, how is this fear affecting the day-to-day life today in families, because families are adults are suffering from anxiety, are suffering from fears, are lacking of, they are feeling this lack of support in the close environment. So how are they reacting? How are they living in these new conditions, more stressful than they were before? Is something that with data, we can know, we have this picture to know what's happening and which mm-hmm. could be the best strategies to implement in the local
So when you find the anxiety and these issues they have, what are some mm-hmm. of your next steps that you do for the communities you work in?
Yes, it's very important because with this data, we can know which are the main problems people are feeling in their communities and how to approach them. It's very important, at least in developing countries, to know what's happening in people because you have to be also respectful of the process of each people in their communities. Each community is different. You cannot implement like a guide with mm-hmm. close steps to intervene in a community, but you have to adapt also to their own processes. Something that we have in Latin America is most of the time in vulnerable context, public space in local contexts are very, public places are very aggressive or they don't have the conditions to be used. So people is not used normally to go to the public space, at least close to them, because usually we have parks, big parks, but they are far away and you almost have to organize a local trip to go there for a whole day. So people are not used to have quality in their public space in under a proximity approach. So they most of the time they don't know how to use it, or they are not used to care for it. So you have to implement the strategies that support these new habits of saying, okay, we are using the public space in another way. We are caring for it, and it's our public space, because most of the time people don't feel like it's for them, that is their public space, but it's someone else. We don't know who, maybe the municipality, but we don't know who owns this public space. So you have to create this empowerment also, this sense of appropriation of the public space, and data can guide you how to do it, because you can measure what people is feeling, what they are thinking about.
And did you manage to put in some implementations into these public spaces that you could have the data before and after, or are you still working on that middle process?
Yes, in Coopera Infancia, we have been, this is the seventh round we have done. We are continuously measuring data to know how people are feeling, and in different parts of the country, not only Lima, but in different regions. So we can know how people is evolving, how this economic crisis, food crisis, employment crisis is affecting people, because families are, we have been noticing that people are incrementing their indicators of anxiety and depression. And that's really important when we talk about the youngest children, because science says that the effects of experiences of babies in their first years of life are key for the rest of development, because they shape the brain architecture and determine the quality of our future mental health. So the relationship, this attachment between the adult and the youngest children is something very important. But if we think in an adult that is really under stress, and a continuous stress that is getting worse and worse, and we know it because we are measuring all the time, we can use data to go to governments and to say, okay, we have to do something. We cannot keep measuring this data and doing nothing. We have to do something, and giving access to public space to people, because public space is the way where we could say is giving people conditions to meet to each other. We know that when we speak to another, we can share how we feel. We can share our strategies of parenting, how we are treating our children, what works, what doesn't work. And we can share our knowledge and our experience with others. And that contributes to your mental health also. And being outside, being in contact with nature, at least in Peru, and that's something very difficult when you are talking about urban settings that with vulnerable population. You don't see much nature in those neighborhoods, and that's complicated for people, because contact with nature returns yourself to another, reconnects you with the city, with your environment. But if you don't have those quality conditions, it's quite difficult to feel well in your neighborhood. This concept of proximity is very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. And I believe this is all very important stuff. The real question, I guess, is does the government hear you? When you come forward, how are they responding? Do they see the data and go, yes, let's open up more space? Or do they ask you to go back to get more data?
Yes, no, it's important to show the data. And also one thing I would say that is important to transmit to local governments, that you can do it in a simple way. You don't need to build important infrastructure. You can just close a street, to make it a street with good conditions, and that means that this healthy, that is clean, that you don't have cars around, so children and families can feel comfortable and to play there. You need also to be results focused, to have an idea and to say, okay, I want to offer this to the families and to create the conditions for it. As I said you before, you can just close street and to create the conditions for making people to come to the street. Something that happened to us in a project was that people wasn't used to go there to play. So at the beginning, people didn't come there, and they even said, there are no children in this street. We are most of us adults. Mm-hmm. And after a while, when people started to see that there was a clear space there and was available for them, they started to see more and more children in the neighborhood. And they were amazed. Let's say, where all these children were before? Mm-hmm. Because we didn't see them before. Why? Because you didn't have the conditions to play there. But once you have the space, people start occupying the space by themselves. They just need to have something that, as I said, is available, is clean, is healthy. And little by little, people is started putting plants, caring of the space, and creating more and more conditions according to the activities they also wanted to do there. So you just don't need to do something incredible at the beginning. It's just creating the conditions for letting people use the space.
And were you able to measure their improvement of attitude? So once they're before the space, they have maybe some anxiety. And then are you able to collect, how does this place make you feel data, the positive side?
Yes. We measure perception also, that how they felt before and how they feel now. It's very important to have a place where to go only even for 10 minutes at least. If you have your lunchtime, for instance, and maybe you don't want to do anything special in that space, just sitting down there and to see people or to breathe, or to be to be there to meet other people, to talk to someone or whatever.
You're socializing. you don't have to go there too. Yeah, bumping into someone's as important for your mental health. That's and you were it. Able to That's collect it. That and people would say, I've been so happy here.
People say, yes.
Oh, so what are some things people say, the effect of the open street when it's all buzzy, what do they say to you?
Yes, one statement that we focus and we were really amazed for that is for one woman told us once, coming here is better than going to the psychologist.
Oh, that's a great one.
So she felt so well there. So in a quiet, in calm, in a space where she could just sit there and forget about everything, that for her was so resilient, so recovering, that she felt incredible in that place.
And it shows your mental aspect, because she fed right into that point where your goal is to improve mental health. And so she didn't say this is just fun, this isn't just more space. She specifically tied it
to the psychologist.
That was
great.
Well, the Real Place City Challenge is looking for inspiration and good examples that show how playful placemaking initiatives are making a difference in cities. Your team did a fantastic job in letting the data lead your placemaking improvements.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was really amazing. And
so using the data to improve policy, do you find that that's working at a local level?
Yes, that's it. It works. Using data to improve policy at local level and improve urban settings too, because they are tied with having the picture of people's feelings at that time, and gives you, in fact, the light to do it. And what kind of strategies in the local context you can use to promote well-being in people. In fact, you don't need something really complicated. Yes, make the space available to be so that is not super dangerous, but it's important to have a space where you feel safe, that you feel it's safety, healthy, sorry, and you feel that it's amazing to do things there. You can play, or you can just sit down to see other people or to meet other people. You can do things there, as we said before. With something simple but well-focused, you can make a change in your own context.
Wow, yeah, so that's amazing. Having you here today has been really great. Thank you for sharing with us the importance of play in building more resilient and stronger communities.
Thank you.
If you enjoy today's podcast, please share with a friend. The Real Play City Challenge miniseries aims to shed light at inspiring playful placemaking. If you are an urban practitioner, a placemaker, or a public servant at a city working on playful placemaking, you can apply for the Real Play City Challenge Award today. The Real Play City Challenge is a competition that celebrates and awards inspiring cities and placemakers who create environments that give people time, space, and opportunities to play. The challenge is being organized by the Real Play Coalition together with Placemaking X, and we are now inviting submissions for 2022. For more information, please visit www.realplaycitychallenge.org. Thank you for listening.